You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with another episode of Innovation for Alpha, and I'm excited today to be talking to Guinevere Blanchard, who is a Denver-based entrepreneur, and that always makes it fun for us. She's got a really cool company that she's going to explain called Sage Medical. Guinevere, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tobin. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. Let's start with that, and then we'll get into Sage.
Great. So I am a five-time CEO. I've owned 22 companies. I'm a licensed drone pilot, a notary, and I spent a year living in Europe where I toured with the circus and I was a fire performer. So I like to wear many different hats and try, you know, all sorts of new things. But by trade, I'm a medical coder.
I love it. That's an incredible background. I can't let you off the hook that easy before we move on. So let me ask about the drone. Let's start with that. So drone pilot, what's your interest there and what kinds of drone pilot or drones do you fly?
Oh, great question. So the drone market is just incredible. Absolutely fantastic. When I had exited my last company, I had moved from San Francisco to Palm Springs to semi-retire. And of course, you know, Palm Springs is a great place to live, but when, you know, you're an active person, I couldn't stay retired. So I started looking into, you know, what market is inspiring and exciting and just moving quickly. And I fell upon the drone market. So I bought a little DJI Mavic and began, you know, flying it around in the open desert. And I was very curious as to, you know, what are other drone pilots doing? And being so close to Hollywood, I quickly discovered there are quite a few drone pilots, you know, in the LA area. Yep. So we would get together. There's actually a group called Women Who Drone, and there's a surprising number of women who are you know, licensed drone pilots. So then I went on and had, you know, taken my FAA test, became a licensed drone pilot, and, you know, thought, well, what can I do with this skill, right? Like, it was kind of like the fire eater skill. Like, what am I going to do with this? So, so luckily I knew a few people with the National Park Service, and one day they called and said, look, we have a senior hiker who went missing and it's 110 degrees and we can only, you know, the rangers can only go out for about 2 hours on horseback to search. And this hiker was somewhere in Joshua Tree National Forest, but you know, what happened? So they asked if I would come out with the drone. And of course, you know, I did. And we found the hiker within 22 minutes. Wow. And I thought, wow, this, you know, just the impact of this technology is just fantastic. So, so I basically just looked into what are other practical ways of using this in addition to search and rescue. And that led me to a call I received a few weeks later from a hospital. And basically there was a person who lived in a remote area who had been bitten by a rattlesnake and they needed the antivenom, and driving it there wouldn't have gotten it there in time. So they asked if the drone could transport the small vial, and we did, and save that man's life as well. So, wow. So the impact of drones are just fantastic. So.
That's pretty neat. What a great side story. So you come out of semi-retirement, and what led you to Sage? What was the impetus for this?
So I went back to doing medical coding, and I realized that there were basically it's just a completely underserved market. Medical coding is super boring. Nobody wants to do it. And there's just not enough medical coders, and the coders that are there, you know, an average coder, if you're really, 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 really a great coder, you're still only coding at about 85% accuracy. So I always would ask people, you know, if you were a pilot and you only landed the plane 85% of the time, like, would that be acceptable? You know, of course not. So I thought, you know, how can we improve this? How can we, you know, adjust the market where we're not displacing the medical coders who are there, but in fact, where we can help them do their job, you know, quicker and more accurately, but as well as, you know, remedying this, the gaps in the healthcare system that allow for the mistakes to be made. So we turn to AI, right? We turn to an automated system that is essentially, you know, what was typically a human error prone to, you know, system is can now be done at a higher accuracy rate in real time.
So medical billing, most people have probably a macro sense that this industry is a mess because you hear about the problems. But you mentioned earlier, you know, most everybody's had some kind of a personal experience. Maybe share a little bit about what that looks like, what it is that you guys are tackling, and specifically how this creates a better experience for the end user.
Great question. So many people are not aware that $100 billion a year of mistakes are made in medical coding and billing. And if you or anyone you know had ever received a medical bill in the mail that should have been paid by your insurance provider, then you too have felt this pain point. And the medical industry sometimes is slow to innovate, right? They're slow to correct problems, especially large hospitals, because they have a lot of, you know, bureaucratic red tape to go through, and the systems that they're relying on, the electronic medical record systems, often are very large and complex. So people are slow to you know, merge new technologies. And AI technology has been around for a long time, but it's just now beginning to dominate the medical industry. So basically, we have an AI-driven, you know, platform to remedy the gaps in the coding and billing systems. So what we've done is combine medical coding and billing and dictation into one fully baked real-time platform. So this not only saves physicians like $250,000 a year, but it increases their productivity by 20%. So this is huge. Imagine if a physician could see 20% more patients during the day and not have to wait for a medical coder to come in and access the patient files, create the codes, send them off to a biller. The biller then would assign a fee schedule, and then that would go on to, say, Medicare as the payer. What if that could all be done in real time? What if the physician could just pick up a tablet, phone, app-based product, click a record button, and just start recording a dictation, right? Think about how much time that would save. The physician then proofreads the dictation. Obviously, you do the same thing before you send a text message to anyone, right? So the physician can would proofread the dictation, make any adjustments necessary, and then our AI technology kicks in and scans the dictation and auto codes it, right? That happens right then and there in real time. From there, we take the information necessary, autofill the claim form, and we send it right on to Medicare. Let me tell you a quick story of why this real-time solution is so important.
Yeah.
One of our advisors runs a medical coding and billing section of a very large hospital in Southern California. This particular hospital typically gets a reimbursement check from Medicare for $70 million every month. It's a really big hospital. So they're counting on, and they budget for, around a $70 million reimbursement. A law was passed in California where you could not go to work if you were not vaccinated. That caused 25% of the medical coders working for the hospital to lose their jobs. So now, since the coding is not being done, the billing is not being done, and these claims are not being sent on average, that hospital for the last 6 months has received only around $43 million a month in reimbursements. Wow. That led to the layoff of two emergency room nurses, doctors, I think three surgeons, something like 24 nurses. So you can imagine, it's not that the hospital's not doing their job. They are. They're seeing these patients. But this key component that people really don't think about until they get the bill in the mail that they shouldn't have gotten, right? This key component of really, you know, what helps the hospitals stay funded and allow the hospitals to provide the staff and technologies that they need. This all happens with, you know, this can't happen without these medical coders and billers. So it's a huge impact. It's a really big problem. Again, $100 billion a year in mistakes. Like, that's just incredible. But, and by automating this, by creating this autocoder, that can be driven at such a high accuracy rate, this not only makes it easier and more efficient for the physician, but coders themselves could use this tool. Medical coders could continue the contracts that they have with doctors, physician offices and so on, and they can now just log in and read the clinical note themselves, and our app does their job for them. So basically, they'll be able to code twice as fast at a higher accuracy rate. So everyone wins.
That's pretty incredible. Let me ask you a component of that. So one of the things I understand with medical billing is that a lot of times the coders will even miss certain reimbursements that would be eligible in a particular visit. Is the AI engine picking any of that up to where the practice is actually realizing income that they were missing before, basically just not getting reimbursed for?
Absolutely. So typically a physician will not know that their charts have been undercoded unless the claim is rejected, right? If the claim is rejected, then the physician knows, something went wrong. But very often claims will go through, but exactly as you've identified, the coder has only coded for one, one code when they should have coded two or three. So again, a lot of money is being left on the table, unbeknownst to the physician. Now, most physicians are aware of this and they can hire yet another person to do an audit. But at that point, you can't really go back and start refiling the claims if they've already been, paid by Medicare. So most physicians don't option for the audit. And this again leads to the $100 billion that are wasted, every year.
So. Well, you also mentioned the rejection. So I imagine if the practice is submitting, claims and they're getting rejected, now your reimbursement time is lagging, which is not great for, for payroll and for all these other things where you're planning on cash flow. Does this help to reduce the number of rejections as well, potentially?
Absolutely. So if we're submitting the correct codes to begin with, then the physician is receiving a higher reimbursement for the entirety of the work that had been performed, and it's being done real time. So they will receive their reimbursements much, much, much more quickly. Typically, what we've boiled down into three automated steps, typically it would normally take 8 steps and weeks or months to complete these same actions.
Very cool. So you kind of intimated, but is the end user, i.e. your customer who's paying Sage, is that going to be in some cases, the billing professional or the practice itself, or who are you essentially selling to and who's paying you?
So we sell to physicians directly. So a physician can sign up for our program, download the app, and start using our product. So let me kind of break this down into three different components. Okay. So some physicians are using a dictation tool right now called Dragon Nuance. Yep. So Dragon is a natural language processor. What we've built is a medical language processor. So if we have a physician who's recording complicated medical terms, our system is more likely to produce the correct word to begin with. Now, Dragon charges $99 a month for that, but they don't do your coding and they don't do your billing. Okay. There is another company that produces something called Codify. Codify is a system where if you put in a word, a medical word, it will give you a medical code for that, but it doesn't automatically read your dictation and identify the correct. Their system is more of like a keyword search rather than ours, which is an AI-driven technology that learns, every time it reads something and can, create the codes that way. But Codify doesn't do your dictation or your billing. Then there are many cloud-based medical billing, companies out there that just do the billing, but not the coding or dictation. Okay. So we're unique in the fact that we've put this, all three of these technologies together. Now, Dragon, again, charges $99 a month just for dictation. We're charging $50 a month to do your dictation and your coding. Wow. Right. Okay. Well, because it's automated and we're not having to pay a lot of humans in the loop. So we can afford to produce a more cost-effective product. Now we can also deliver your billing. So if we're already, vertically integrated with your system, if we're already, creating these these tools and files that we're sending to your EMR, we can also pull basic information out of that electronic medical record to autofill a billing claim form, and our server software can do the billing. So because this is automated, we are able to only charge 4% of every claim filed. The national average is 7 to 10% of every claim filed. And again, now you're with that 7 to 10% of your claim going to a biller, you're still running the risk of the accuracy rate being low or rejected. So our software will do your billing as well for only 4%, and it has to go through our clearinghouse. It won't pass our clearinghouse unless there's a 99% chance that the payer will accept it.
Okay.
So we've built in several fail safes from start to finish so that we can have a proper clean form that goes into the payer.
That's smart. And just as an aside, you mentioned Nuance. Is Nuance now owned by Microsoft, if I recall?
Yes. So Microsoft bought Nuance, which is huge. And also, have you heard of Epic? Epic is the largest EMR EHR systems out there. So Epic has for decades had a contract together with Dragon, but now that Dragon is owned by Microsoft, Microsoft is not renewing that contract. So Epic themselves will have to, to find a new dictation tool to integrate with their system. But there's actually been one other huge change in our EMR industry. Oracle purchased Cerner.
That's right.
So Oracle will have the technology to innovate and to drastically improve innovations. And, that's the type of company we want to work with. We want, companies that are progressive in that way to be, using our product. So yeah,
there's a tectonic shift. Now you got the battle of the Titans. You've got Oracle lining up behind Cerner, and Epic is, dug their heels in as an independent company, but we'll see how long that stands at this point. They're going to have to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. Yep. And Cerner/Oracle are not going to sit still. Larry Ellison, it's not in his DNA.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, those systems are used by hospitals or $20 million systems. You also have to consider the other 50% of that EMR market, which are your local dermatologist or, cardiologist. They're not using $20 million systems. They're using, cloud-based EMRs. And we're currently vertically integrated with four channel partners who are all cloud-based EMRs. And that gives us access to 2 million physicians at the moment. So.
Wow, that's great. Yep. Let's talk a little bit about where you guys are headed over the next 6 months for the balance of this year. I know you're getting ready to launch a new raise. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and some of the key milestones on your horizon?
Yeah, great. I'd love to. So we have secured a CTO who's had 7 exits in med tech. So that's really been a great boost for us during the last 6 months. Also prior to that, we had participated in the Salesforce Accelerator, which had opened a lot of doors for us, as well as the Jumpstart Foundry Accelerator, which has been a wonderful experience. Those folks are just amazing. We had a pre-seed round. Some of our sponsors who had come into that pre-seed round were not only accelerators, but companies like Cooley Law Firm. Oh. So Cooley Law Firm came in with an investment, and they have organized all of our documents in our data room and so on to all prepare us for this upcoming seed round. So we're opening a 750K seed round. It's a safe with a $4 million cap. And that will actually launch this week. To kick off that launch, we've partnered with a company called Kiwi Tech. So Kiwi Tech has put in the first 250K of the 750K for tech development. So we're well on our way towards finishing the build and getting it to market. So.
That's fantastic. So in that round, investors can invest directly through the safe. Are there minimums for the investors?
They're not minimums. No.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, we'll get some information that we can provide in the show notes so people can get links to the company. So give us a sense of what that 750,000 is used for? What do you, you know, where do you guys sit at this time, say January 1? What are you looking to accomplish?
Sure thing. So the app, the delivery app, which is the medical language processor and the coder, is 80% complete. And in total, we need 500K to finish this project. That would include completing the app. So basically AI training through, you know, data scientists building data sets to continue to train the AI and so on. And the billing software. So the remaining amount of that 500K is earmarked for billing software. So we should have the front end product to market in about 4 months to be used. We're beta testing with a few of the geriatric clinics at the moment through one of the EMRs that we're integrated with. And we're just, you know, making the system better, smarter, faster.
I love it. Do you have a wait list yet for providers that might want to get access once it's up and running?
We do. So we need to integrate with each of those cloud-based EMRs. And there are hundreds of cloud-based EMRs out there. Some are specialized for behavioral health therapists. Some are specialized for physical therapists and so on. So our target market out the door are primary care physicians. Okay. And then we'll start integrating with other specialty groups.
Love it. It's great, great space. It's not one that probably people think about a lot, but when they do, they think, you know, nobody has a great feeling for some reason when they think about medical billing. no surprise. So this is exciting. And we love the fact that it's a Denver company. Denver's enjoying a great day today after the Avalanche win yesterday. So everybody's excited about that. Is there anything else you can think of that you might want to share with the audience, whether that be investors, providers, anything in between?
What else would I like to share? Well, we're looking for good fit investors who understand our market and, you know, understand the problem that we're solving. So that's really the next step for us, is to raise this and bring this product to market and go from there.
Okay. Well, Guinevere, thanks so much for spending some time and sharing about the company. We're excited about it. We'd love to keep everybody informed as it progresses. Both those that are interested in investing will provide information, and then similarly for people that would love to be users of this. It's very exciting. So thank you.
Thank you, Tobin.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.